Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cold start, I don't care.
Yeah,
cool. Mikey, Violent Soho, and a couple of secret hardcore bands, but maybe maybe you'll announce it at some time, who knows. But yeah, how you going, man? It's been... some crazy fucking times. It's been some crazy times. We're doing this in his humble abode at the moment because it's not a scheduled studio appointment. And also, I don't mind doing this. This is good fun. It's good fun.
Nice to have you here, mate.
Thank you very much for inviting me into the abode. I love it. It's such a cool setup as well. You know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Proud of it. Put on my little shrines over here.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect.
It's nice. Yeah.
So, I mean, for anyone not really knowing too much about your backstory, you are the drummer of Violent Soho. Have you, outside of that though, have you played in any other bands before that?
Yeah, I've played in bands since I was... I've been playing in bands since I was about 12 years old. my first band was called Steel Glacier. It was just like with the bloke I went to school with. We did like Oasis and Metallica covers, Green Day covers.
So they always start. So this is the trend. Usually, guys that have started playing bands and shit is always a cover band.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that was like. I mean, that's. I always say that's my first band. We never did a gig.
but yeah. You still got together a jam though.
Fuck,
that's a band.
Yeah, I'll remember it. Like, the first time having a mate come over my house and bashing away in the garage. Was like, oh, I want to do this. This is so much fun. It's way better than playing by yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, I played in, as a teenager, I grew up in, like, Pentecostal church. So, my dad's a minister. So, I always played drums in, like, the church band, which was really cool. Like, I learned a lot. Like, I played in a really good band as a teenager with a lot of really good musicians. Very, like, sort of, like, American gospel choir type. Like, you know, just jamming out, like, really spiritual sort of music. So, yeah. It was really actually really cool. As much as I, like, don't really appreciate the culture of the church that I grew up in. But that actual side of it, like, it was a nice little distraction.
Yeah, throughout all the bullshit that you've seen, and you're just like, questioning your morality on it. You're like, at least I get to fucking play drums.
That was really, I mean, because, like, what people resonate with in those environments is the music.
Yeah.
For sure, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. Especially, like, the big, like, orchestral choirs and churches and stuff.
Yeah, we had
that
all
those sing-alongs and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I've seen all kinds of videos of that. The ones that get real fully into it and shit fall over. Oh, I'm possessed. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Insane. But the music that goes along with it is just as insane too. Mm. But I mean, like, even gospel music as well. Gospel church music and shit as well. Incredible.
Yeah, it's really like, it comes from like liberation theology of like, you know, feeling oppressed. Like, I mean, it's all like most things are stolen from like African Americans. But, like most like good music is, but and it comes from like, you know, this culture of like slavery and oppression. It's just like a release, a place to go to like have that solidarity and release, and it's very spiritual when you're under like from that culture under so much oppression. Like, it's like all you've got is your spirituality.
Yeah,
that's the thing, like, you've got to let people have those mythologies in their lives, because I mean, otherwise, you're just a fucking slave.
Yeah. Right?
Like, everyone wants to believe in something, so...
That's right, you know, and I guess it's kind of hard these days. I probably have to do a little bit of soul-searching myself, you know? Like, but not in the terms of who should I believe in, but what do I actually stand for? Like, you know, there's a lot of that, I think, especially in the last couple of years, I think, potentially, like... If you haven't been trying to do something different during this time, like, not so much that you've wasted an opportunity, but I feel like you've missed an opportunity to sort of do something with yourself. Because I've done a lot of soul searching this last couple of years, and it's fucking hard. Yeah. It's been hard. Yeah. That's more than anything. Not so much finding more out about yourself, but the isolation that's come along with it too. I think not a lot of people have just really dealt with it so well.
It's understandable because you're just left there with your shadow.
Yeah.
And like that shadow side starts to become you. And I think a lot of people, like, I mean, it manifests as mental illness, but like in a spiritual sense, like that's really that side of you. And this is like how I look at things. Like, I mean, I do, like, as you can tell from all these books, like I'm a philosopher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't call myself a philosopher or whatever, but, like from that perspective, like my philosophy is in dialectics, which is breaking down the dividing line between the spiritual and the material and how they intersect constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as an atheist, I still think, like, the spiritual is so real. And, in fact, like, atheism is the only real way to feel, like, your truth because, like, there's no gatekeeping there. You can actually, like, call it whatever you want, the universe, something more powerful than you that you just can't understand. You just give yourself up to it. I went through so much, really, like, couldn't even imagine like how bad things were going to get for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
And really just confronted with my own personal demons at a point, and I just had to make a choice, you know, if I was going to confront and really own that shadow side of myself. And as soon as I did start doing the work on that, my whole life turned around, man. And like, actually at this point, I'm actually thankful for it, all that shit, because I made the choice to actively to grow from it and to heal from all that bullshit that I've been just suppressing in my life. So, you know, it was confronting, but I'm so glad I went through it. I think looking at that from a positive light, like, I'm only going to be more powerful, more strong going forward. I found like myself back to who I really was before all this shit happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy part about it all too, is like when the world sort of slows down and you actually kind of have to think about things for a change rather than sort of putting them aside, like you're just working all the time, you're partying all the time, you're distracting yourself from everything and anything going on in your life just to, I guess, have a good time, and then all that stops. All that stops. You can't do that for what, I don't know, it probably what, 6 months in total, I guess, throughout this whole ordeal where you weren't really able to go outside, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, even as an artist, I mean, it's been 2 years of like very little work.
Oh, yeah. From the work perspective in the music, that's a totally different ballgame as well. Like, it's been even longer for that. The creative side is still only just now being able to start doing shit again, which in itself is starting to cause more divide and making it even harder for people to be wanting to come back into it, because they're all starting to set this fucking narrative of like, or divide basically, like, you know, I don't really want to get into it on this, but like, it's this whole vaxxed and unvaxxed shit, right?
Yeah, no, but totally.
But it's making it difficult for us to be able to get back to this normalcy again, because people are starting these divides, but yet they don't even really, I swear to God, they don't know the shit that they're even talking about half the time.
They have no idea. Oh, yeah.
Some motherfucker tried telling me that it's like some sort of dictatorship that we're having to be told what to do and stuff. And I'm like, motherfucker, have you ever... Do you know what dictatorship means?
Yeah, I know. Hey,
do like, you, really?
Yeah, it's like...
Go to Chechnya. Yeah, yeah. There's one right there, mate. That's a real dictatorship over there where this guy... Who have you killed if you say bad things about him?
Yeah, I know. You know, it's like calling ScoMo a fascist or something. It's like you're just sort of like thinning out the meaning of the concept of what fascism truly is.
Like,
I mean, they're conservative, austerity government who've been forced to make a lot of public spending. Like, everyone's just done what they can, man. Like, and you got to understand it from that perspective. I think, like, when you talk about the line, like, I think the line at some point... was, if you're looking at social media especially, like this whole like myth of like the cancel culture or whatever, and I see like people still trying to like get in line with that, like, oh, anti-vax, if you're not anti-vax you're against the industry. It's just like, can you please stop calling art an industry? Like, you're a fucking corporate. Like, I mean, what's going on? We're artists, and it doesn't matter what's in each other's hearts, because you don't fucking know. And like, by like, you know, excluding somebody from your creative outlet or kicking them out of your band because they're anti-vax and you're pro-vax or vice versa or whatever the fuck, if they don't agree with transgenderism or whatever the fuck their opinion is. You might have your take on it, but you got to respect that people just are growing to understand things in their own way. They don't necessarily, like, you can tell if someone's really a hateful or cruel person.
Oh, fucking
right?
No. You know, yeah, you know.
They don't. They can't hide it. They can't. Yeah. And, I mean, like, where's your solidarity? If you're so, like, about this, if you're so left, like, where's your solidarity? Why don't you, like, why, that starts at friendship, right? Mm. Bringing each other down, like, I mean, that's not the point of, like, I mean, you're like, so how are you so anarchist when all you can do is, like, look to the legalities of things, or like, how am I gonna, how, oh, this isn't profitable for me. I mean, I got so tired of the woe is me attitude of the music scene or industry, as it is so much in Brisbane now. It's like evolved into like such an industry that, you know, I started going to like local hardcore shows where there's just like 50 people. None of these bands have necessarily even got Instagrams. They're all ripping. They're all the sickest bands around. And
oh, dude, it's a different world.
Yeah.
You got to, like, and I was start like, going to more, eh?
You know what? So many exactly. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm sick of fucking whinging. I just want to play music. I'll go back to get a regular job. I'll do whatever the fuck. Like, I've been through this shit before. I've been in the music industry for 20 years. I remember when file sharing fucked everything up. I've got a million stories about, like,
was it the ups sharing, and downs. That was the whole fucking Metallica thing? Is that
I mean, but yeah, I've got 100 stories of the ups and downs. Napsa? The ebbs and flows. Napsa? The disappointment of what you think's going to happen and it doesn't, and oh no, I can't do this. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to change your fucking plans. Like, there's still an outlet for music, and stop finger pointing and just make some fucking tunes and get together with some people.
Yeah.
And stop worrying about what's inside each other's hearts, because you never fucking know. And, like, I'm sure there's a lot of legitimate reasons for people to be fearful of vaccination. So just stop judging everyone, man. You're not a fucking judge. Who are you? Like, sorry, I'm ranting, but, like, I get upset about it.
But that's
this
the thing,
man.
Though, as well, like, with this sort of shit, like, this is what is kind of in people's minds right now that are in the music scene, like, and especially like when you try and voice this stuff online, whether it be left or right or whatever, right, generally on the general thumb, like, there's usually going to be one fucker on there that jumps on and says, ooh, what about this? That's usually like, I can't do Facebook anymore, like, I have a profile for my page, like, podcast and shit. I don't use it anymore. Fuck it. I hate Facebook.
Yeah,
it's so bad, and the culture around that shit too has just, it's so toxic now. I just usually use Instagram. It's a different animal. Like, even though it's run by the same fuckers,
it's
a different animal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So
it is. Yeah,
you know, and it's easier to promote shit on Insta. Than
people
it
are
is.
More receptive to Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, they are too. And there's less of a sort of algorithm attachment to it as well as there is with Facebook. So promoting your shows and stuff on Facebook is unless you're fucking sponsoring them or paying for the advertising, no one's gonna see it.
Yeah,
unless you tell all your mates, hey, can you share this for me, please? But after so many times of doing that, people, like, whether or not they like you or not, you kind of get, like, it's that sort of, okay, fine, I will. Like, there's that less sort of thrill behind it, like, because you're having to constantly harass people to be like, hey, come like my shit and do it.
Yeah.
Because you can't get the reach if you're just doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. There's no choice other than to spend money. And it's like, I'm more...
Yeah.
And again, I'm an artist, motherfucker. I got no money. That's the whole point. I'm here to make money. So it's even bigger fucking hurdle that they have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you got this sort of shit coming into it now where there's that divide starting. And it's... The main ideology behind it, I think, should just be to, like you said before, like, if they're your friends, look up and give them the choice. Like, let them, you know, if they're afraid, if they're uncertain, give them the information, the right information. If they then refuse to listen to it and then want us to go the other way, you did your best.
Yeah.
You don't have to interact with them.
Yeah,
you can stop. That's fine.
Don't be so arrogant as to dismiss other people's fears and concerns. I mean, like, the reality is there's no completely safe vaccine in the world, and it's I mean, the gray area of the argument is really the truth of it, in my opinion. And, like, make your choice. Like, I'm vaccinated, and I know that there's a risk, and, like, look, I'm willing to take the risk for it, but I'm not going to go and sit there and say that if you don't want to, or if you think that there's something insincere about what's going on, that's fine. You're going to end up feeling forced into doing it, like more than likely. But I'm like, I mean, look, I guess the issue is really just how people judge each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone's sitting around judging each other. There's never going to be any solidarity within working class people. No. And rock and roll is the church of the working class, really. Like,
yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. And, yeah, it's just disappointing. But I feel like that sort of culture is dying out, really, the cancel culture. What I've noticed is a lot of bands coming out of nowhere, like Resin Tomb, we were just talking about before.
Yeah.
Who are just world-class, and they don't have those ambitions to, like, fuck with Q Music or give a fuck about stuff like this, because, like, you don't need an NGO to hand you an opportunity. You carve your own path. Mm. Triple J or whomever the fuck will come to you if you're ready for it. You don't need to sell yourself to Unearthed, start a fucking Facebook, like, which is basically a social media band competition for social media.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, a lot of people on there who just aren't ready, really, to be on the radio, in all honesty. And,
yeah, right.
I mean, like, there's this other band, what are they called? Florid and Sorry? I walked past this dude busking yesterday, looked up his band, this math rock band, unbelievable, like, world class. And I'm like, where's this band come from? These are the bands that have popped up in the last 2 years when the opportunities were taken away. And I remember when Brisbane was like that, when I first started out, no one in Brisbane got signed. Mm-hmm. There was no ambition to get signed, because it just was probably not going to happen. And in a way, like, the industrialization of the creative, like, the like, you know, it started from QUT, really, the creative industries, the whole, like, training kids had, how to get work, how to get paid, that's more important than art. It just takes the meaning out of life, you know. You're always going to be working as an artist, and I'm sorry, unless you're some rich kid, trust fund baby who can afford to, like, just live your fantasy out, like, you're going to have to work for it. That's, just fucking do the fucking work, and have solidarity with each other, because we've only got each other. We've only got our mates. Yeah. Like, there's the rest is just a big bunch of bullshit. Seriously.
Yeah. What's your cat's name again? Sorry.
Dante Luna.
Dante Luna. Yeah. She's here just having a mad smooge to us. Just like, I'm worried that she's going to stop the recording as well. Cause she's loving it, aren't you? I love all animals. I'm shocking. Same, you know, man. I see an animal or a cat or a dog, unless they actually are keen with it, like, I'll just go up and do this, eh?
Yeah.
Like, I got some local magpie. Nibble. I got some local magpies at work that I feed regularly. Yeah. And now,
I love magpies. Yeah, dude. They sound so pretty when they sing to each other.
Gorgeous. Yeah. And I can whistle to them now and they come to us.
Yeah,
I whistle
to them. Yeah. I got my ones in the backyard, yeah.
I've now just got so another cute. Two more birds as well. They're baby pied butcher birds, which are like the baby magpies.
Yeah,
look at them,
right?
Yeah. And, yeah, you can tell they're young because they got, like all that grey feather shit. Ones, yeah. Yeah. And I can hand feed them now as well. Like, I'm fucking here. Awesome. When I'm at work, you know, like, I'm at work. So, yeah. And even the boss man, he'll pop his head out sometimes because he'll hear me fucking whistling. He's like, what's going on? Oh, right, you're feeding the birds. You fucking idiot. I'm like, hey, they keep the pests away.
I'm the same, dude. I love animals, dude. Having this cat's been the best. I got it when I moved in here about 4 months ago. And
yeah.
Yeah, a little spirit animal, real good connection with her, man. She's beautiful. I love cats.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I love dogs as well. I love all animals, but I've always been a cat person.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were saying before, like, you've been in the music industry for like 20 years or so. Is that, so was that when you sort of got your big start with Soho, like, when with that, or was that
later? I mean, it's on? Probably not a whole 20 years, like, Yeah, I mean, I've always had ambition to, my career focus has always been this. Yeah. So I started going to uni, trying to figure it all out back in 2003. So it's almost 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Soho really started to gig a lot from about 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it really became like a very serious focus. But I mean, it's a long time.
Because I'm trying to think when I really sort of actually noticed you guys more. Cause I remember when I think back to it now, like, cause there's like those passages where you hear songs on the radio and you just like, where have I fucking heard that song before? Or where have I heard that band before, sort of thing. And I'm pretty sure it was Jesus Stole My Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard that one before, but I just couldn't work out who the fuck it was. And it might've been maybe about, geez, seriously, it's 2021 now. Holy fuck. I think it might have been maybe about 2014, 2015 when I actually started listening to you guys and realizing, holy fuck, you guys are local. And then it was, when did Viceroy?
Viceroy was 2016.
That was 2016. Yes, it was the one before that.
The album? Hungry Ghost.
That's it, Hungry Ghost. Yeah, but was there a decent gap between that one and Viceroy?
That album's called Waco.
Waco, Viceroy. Yeah, Viceroy's the song. Yeah.
no worries.
Yeah.
Like 3 years. We usually we've always been like a quality over quantity. We take a long time to write an album as a band. Not all bands are like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, some can just fucking pump me out, like,
I mean, like, I've played in a lot of bands, and, like, I've had, like, albums I've worked on where I wrote all the parts in a couple of days, and then ones where I wrote took, like, a year to figure it out, depending on what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just how Soho's worked. Luke, who writes the songs, like, he's very, very particular. And so we just don't rush it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was, between Waco and Everything Is A-Okay, there was like a 3.5 year period. That felt like a really long time.
Yeah.
And we were quite keen to like get, not make that a big gap, but COVID's...
So it's working out to be probably the same time frame.
It will be, yeah, because we haven't been able to tour that album yet. So from next year, we'll tour it and then get into making another one, so it'll be another big gap again, I reckon. It's been 2 years, and it's just 2 years off.
Essentially. Mm-hmm.
Still want to tour that album because we haven't really been able to bring it to people in that context.
Yeah, and that's how most bands would usually, you know, fucking get their profile bigger and shit too. They release an album, then they fucking tour off the back of it. That's what helps you bring out your spotlight on you as a band, sort of thing, you know. And then, there were so many releases that even happened over the COVID period. And you just think, fuck, man, if they went on tour with that, they could have, they could have hit that stage, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what was it? Shackles. Have you heard of Shackles?
Yeah, sick band.
Of course, right? I fucking love Shackles. Who doesn't, right? Their latest release, got on the independent charts or some shit out of nowhere, which was insane. Because if you've listened to Shackles, you wonder how, considering what other bands were on
there.
And, oh man, they could have been, their exposure from that could have been so good. But can't tour off the back of it. Haven't been able to.
Yeah, you know? I mean, the way specifically our last album, we produced it in such a way and presented it in such a way to make it quite neat and very it's quite a pop album, but there's another element sonically to it that we knew live would come out really epic and sort of give that surprises to this is how the songs are in this setting.
Yeah,
and we kind of intentionally did it that way to just expand on it live so we could open it up. And we just haven't had that chance. It's quite frustrating, and I guess we still want to take that chance with those songs, so we're not super interested in putting out new material. We've got a couple of songs that we have put together that were going to come out already, but again, Delta came along, so we've decided that'll be out early next year, most likely, when we start playing more and more shows again. Just to have something.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how long it's going to take for the next record, but I don't really mind. We've got plenty of music out there.
Quality over quantity, like you said today. Yeah. No, because some bands do it and it works well. Some bands are the other way and they can do both. Some bands produce quantity and you think, fucking stop.
There's
freedom of expression, right?
Haven't even listened to your last album yet. You got a new one. Fuck.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Whatever.
I haven't got it yet, but I will. I get paid tonight anyway. But I'm gonna get your latest release, A-OK.
Give you a copy.
I was gonna get. Have you got a cassette? Because I'm gonna get a cassette of it.
I probably have a couple on cassette. I could probably
swing. Yeah, no one. Shit. Yeah, okay,
I'll dig
cool.
it up.
I've got a growing collection.
Yeah, I do. I've got two on cassette, so I'll give you one of my.
Oh, copies. Mate, I've got a collection that I've started since when COVID started. Was when I started. I had two cassettes to start with. And as of now, from March last year, I've got 145 five cassettes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So I'm trying to just build off that now. I've got maybe about a dozen 7-inches. Mm-hmm. I'm not really going to start my big LP, like 12-inch collection yet until I get the first ever sort of, the first album that changed everything for me. And it was 2006, Cannibal Corpse, Kill.
All right.
That was...
Great album.
Oh, dude. It was when they went to a new studio. Their sound just went from that old school raw death metal to a modern sort of death metal touch.
Yeah.
And it was just insane. Yeah. They had Eric Rudin.
Really such a good band. Wow.
Yeah, incredible. And I got a chance to see them in 2012.
Cool.
And my God, like just... I mean, Corpse Grinder is a presence, and they don't, you know how like with some, they don't fucking move on stage. It's the funniest thing. Like, I don't know if there's that many bands out there that do it, right? But like, they do not move on stage when they're playing their songs. Like, they take that stance. They
probably used to.
Maybe.
Older. They're old now, yeah.
But it's just that, like, it works for them, though, because it's that commanding presence as well. Yeah. It's like they don't move and shit. You get smashed by Corpse Grinder's neck, like, from the front row, because it's so huge. Like, incredible. It's incredible. I'm not starting that collection until I get that one on a 10-inch.
Yeah, I was at a tattoo place the other day, and there was just, like, a lot of local... like DIY labels with their cassettes for sale and like a little spot in there, and I was like, man, there's so many cool local releases on cassette. Yeah. I have a cassette player, so I'm like, I'm getting a cassette player. I'm starting to buy it because cassettes sound sick, man.
They're like so good.
Like I guess with vinyl, I love vinyl, but like most vinyl's mastered digitally these days anyway, so it doesn't really sound that much different to a CD.
No,
like, with cassette, you're really battling with the elements. Nothing sounds more real than tape, really. Like, we recorded the drums to the last album on tape.
Oh, cool.
And it was just so worth it, because you just get that warmth. And you've got to pay respect to the process and what rock and roll is supposed to sound like. Just sounds way better on tape, dude. Yeah. Like,
I'm thinking of a song. I was listening to it on the way here, actually, because I was just getting a refresher on some of the songs and how many albums you did and shit like that. In the Isle. Man, sounds like you're fucking murdering those drums in that intro, eh? Like, you're hitting them so hard. But, like, was that one that you're... In the Isle, I can't remember which album that one was off, but...
It's off Hungry Ghost.
Hungry Ghost. So, did you do the same with that one, where you'd recorded it on tape sort of thing?
That was recorded to tape. All of our albums, the drums are recorded to tape.
Yeah, okay.
I play really heavy. Like, I've always hit hard. Yeah. I love hitting hard. Yeah.
And you can definitely hear it in that too. When you pay attention to like certain songs, when you're in that sort of zone, you're just like, man, he's fucking smashing that right now. It's not like he's tapping it. You wonder like how they record it too, and like is it how they play that live as well? Like, what's the energy and shit? So it's always cool, like, the recording process and stuff, whether or not you just like to keep it simple or you like to try different things, you know?
Well, one of the challenges with recording to tape is you don't want to do, like, a million different drop-ins, like, because it's just harder to match it all up.
Yeah.
So, like, on the last album, I was pretty happy I did quite a few of the songs in one take. That's not always easy, man.
One take? It's not.
So I was pretty happy with myself on that, but, it is a challenge, but you know what, like, the Beatles used to record an album in a day, and those are some of the greatest albums of all time. The early stuff, I mean, a lot of the Sun Studios, like, you've got like multiple guitars playing to one microphone. Like, that's why it sounds so fucking good, because it's so limited sonically, and it just has another aesthetic to it, the aesthetic limitations. You know, everyone can appreciate minimalism. It exists in so many different forms. Like, the early rock and roll was very minimalistic. And that's why it's so fucking good.
Yeah. That place you were talking about where the cassettes were, that wouldn't have happened to be in Camp Hill, would it?
I go
in there all the time when I get the chance, and sometimes I'll take my kid in there and shit too, and we'll just like check it out, say good day to Loki and
nice people in
lovely place.
I bought some crystals as well. They got a little crystal shop.
I think I'm like there's so many other different things in there, and I think all I've bought there so far is just like a couple of stickers and cassettes.
Yeah. Well, they got that mad antique center next door too.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I popped in there. And yeah, you know what's really funny about that place? I'll give them props on this for the moment anyway. I think it's Phase Cassettes or Phase Records.
The record store next door.
June and I, we were in, I can't remember which day it was. I think it was a Sunday. But we were just in the neighborhood and we thought we'd stop in and say good day, but Through House was shut for the day. Fair enough, whatever. We just, I thought, oh, I'll pop into the next door and have a look. And then, yeah, we were just having to wander through, and then he finds his way into the back room and stuff where there's all like these little miniature toys and like those pop vinyl things. It was just like a separate room, like just for little intricate things. No, that's all right. Yeah, like them. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Justice for all.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's sick, eh?
Oh, yeah, I would have fucking got that too. Cool. I mean, like, that album as well.
Oh, yeah. That's my favourite Metallica album.
Is it? Yeah?
Yeah, I used to be my least favourite.
Yeah, right, now it's
my favourite. One day it just made sense to me. Yeah. Oh, Kill 'Em All.
Yeah, dude, I love that. Four Horsemen. Like,
there's so many good fucking Metallica. Yeah. Master of Puppets is, like, a perfect album.
Yeah.
Ride the Lightning. I mean, they're like,
yeah,
lots of good Metallica albums, but I don't know, something about, maybe it's just because, like, I don't know, Justice for All just clicked for me at one point. I used to hate it.
Mm.
It's very, like, tinny. It's, like, really sparse because they stretched everything out. It's quite slow. But I don't know, just, like, the mood of it just ticked over for me one day, and I just, like I love mood. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love, because, big reader, like, I love to put something on and just, like, that's why I love, like, Drone and Doom. Type metal and extreme metal in general. It's like so meditative. It just helps you focus in. It's like listening to classical music. It just creates that ambience for you to live your life to.
Go
I
check
don't get
out.
Distracted by it.
Yeah. Go listen to a band if you're liking that stuff at the moment. Go listen to a band called Burial Pit. They're from Sydney.
Cool.
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous.
I've heard of them.
The Resin Tomb guys played with them last time they came up. Yeah. Because I saw them and I took photos that night for it as well. It was Disentomb, Shackles, Resin Tomb, and Drawn a Blank. I think I just said it before. Anyway, Burial Pit. I was on parent duty that night, but I managed to put him down and get there once I finished up, but I missed Resin Tomb, so that's why I didn't have photos for that night of them. They are incredible. Incredible sort of presence if you're talking about that sort of mood aesthetic. They've got some great songs.
I went through like a period of like a 10-year depression, and I only just kind of like came out of it because of this year, like just confronting all that stuff like I was talking earlier. And one of the things was just returning to listening to really dark music. Because, I couldn't really... I love metal and listened to it, but, like, especially, like, I love black metal.
Yeah.
And, like, I just hadn't listened to any for a long time because I think it started to make me feel worse. It's, like, that energy, the shadow energy of it was, like, more speaking to me than the empowerment energy of it.
Yeah.
Like, now I listen to it and it's, like, because it's, like, you know... Like, songs about suicide and all this kind of shit, but it's because you're confronting that part of yourself and surviving it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's really, like, the coolest thing. That's why so many people in these bands are actually the nicest people yet.
That's exactly right. Either it's influential to them in some point, or they've been affected by it, which is why they write about it.
Exactly.
Like, it's so they have that understanding, but also you'll understand as well that, you know, they're just trying to be normal around you to make it, you know, like, I am normal. Like, I've got fucked up thoughts and shit, but I'm normal, you know?
But everyone has such fucked up thoughts.
I know.
Confronting them is a brave thing to do, man. It's a way of healing.
Yeah, for sure. The mental health aspect of that shit too. Like, I'm always a big advocate for talking about, especially for blokes and shit as well. Because, I mean, I don't know. Again, I've gone back to it before, but it's like, it's the modern times, you know, like, go talk to a therapist or a psychologist. I see one on the regular. I take antidepressants because my head's fucked, you know, like, I have shitty thoughts and feelings that get me really anxious and panic attacky, and you know, I have been suicidal in the past. This is stuff that you should be comfortable to be talking about because
absolutely.
That's what helps you grow. And it destigmatizes the whole thing. Like, you're not fucked in the head. You're not fucked up, you know? Like, you just, you have these thoughts that make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And you should be okay to talk about it because that's how you confront them.
Yeah, oh man, I found myself in such a depression, like very, suicidal, I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
That I wound up, I tried to kill myself, like, a couple of times. And I just, like, that feeling, because I just hadn't addressed it, of, like, literally, like, just not being able to get out of bed, not even being able to walk down the hallway in my house, not being able to, like, hiding from, like, the windows in case, thinking everyone hates me, and, like,
oh, oh, that's the hardest one, too. So much
negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And, like, I wound up in the fucking hospital, and I was just like, I'm not coming back to this. I survived that. I'm not. I'm, and I just made that choice, and it's not that easy, but I made that choice, and it was really, really hard, man.
Yeah.
Especially when the meds hadn't kicked in yet.
Oh.
And that, then they confuse you, because, like, your head's clearing out.
Yeah. I had, like, this
period, but... Yeah, I went through, like, a hell period, and I had, like, severe insomnia for weeks and weeks and weeks, like, sleeping, like, 1 hour a night. So I got into, like, meditating to try and, like, alleviate the lack of sleep, because it didn't matter if I took sleeping pills, didn't work.
Didn't work.
And, like, I'd just get, like, just enough to not, like, die.
Believe it or not, your body needs sleep.
Yeah, definitely. I was meditating like 8 hours a day, like, cause I couldn't, I was so exhausted, I couldn't do anything else. I'm just like meditating so much. And, it really opened up. It's, that's really like, that was a big part doing very serious. I mean, I'm not like, it's hard to meditate for that long. I was kind of forced into it, but I had this one moment where it's like everything unlocked out of my brain. And I realized the truth of so much stuff that I just suppressed, because I forced my brain to exhaustion into doing that.
Yeah.
And I like, had like one of those astral traveling experiences where, like, I had like a seizure and I astral traveled or whatever. Yeah, it was really wild. And and I just woke up and I, like, it was like this big unlocking of my brain, where I'd switched out of it, and I just had like, it was just, that was the beginning of like really healing. I just, yeah, I don't know what it was, man. Something came over me and I woke up and I felt like ecstatically good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just able to sleep again and just have a balance. And I just slowly got better and better to the point where I was like, oh man, I didn't, I thought I was better. And then the next day I'd be even better. I'd be like, oh my God, how does feeling happy feel? Like, seriously. So anyway, that led me, cause like now I meditate a lot and I've been like getting into like just helping people with guided meditations, like friends of mine. And it's all like, I've learned about like chakras and all that. Like it's really very real. There's scientific elements to it.
Yeah.
So like I learned about the science and now I'm into like learning about like the history of like Buddhism and meditation where in general. And... Well, it's all through, most major religions have got a history of people meditating for long, long hours.
Yeah.
And then like seeing God or whatever. Because like you open up your headspace and it feels like very divine. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's been awesome. And like I've got into like tarot cards and doing like all that kind of stuff. It's really fun, man. Because like a lot of people just switch off that like childhood, that childish imaginative side to what living is really like, telling your own story, being in control of your own story. And I find like tarot card readings really helps people like see like where, because it just resonates with people how they see it. It's really helpful, and it's like now I'm helping people to heal in that way too, like
in there.
I still go to my doctor all the time. I still see my therapist. I still take my meds.
Gotta
do all that stuff because that's 3D life, real life.
But
like that's the spiritual like thing, like element to things, like definitely it was so profound for me, man. Like it's really balanced me out a lot.
I think that's where a lot of people kind of slip up, in the sense, like, not that they're not, for the lack of the word, trying or anything to get better, but I think they think it happens overnight, in a sense, you know, like, but it's, that's the thing, it's a process where you need to build yourself up, because if that's where you're at right now and you're thinking, oh God, this is crap, you're already in that cycle where you're like switching off and you want to go back to your old ways.
It's so hard to let go. Like, when you first start to get better, it feels shit. Like you're energetically not used to that feeling.
Yeah,
it's like how good people end up with toxic people constantly because it just makes sense to them. And, but you're just being arrogant to yourself, trying to help these people, putting yourself in harm's way. Get together with good people and do something good that can aesthetically impact on everyone. Like join a band,
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, share your experience. Yeah. Don't put yourself in that dangerous situation with that's what I figured out that I've been doing. Like, I was in toxic relationships always, in toxic friendships.
Was it hard?
And I just had to say goodbye to a bunch of people. And you know what? It was really hard, but fuck, I'm so glad I did it, dude.
Yeah.
So glad. And like, look, as hard as that is, it's not as hard as staying miserable. That's way harder.
Yeah, right. It is a really hard balance, if you haven't figured it out, sort of thing. I mean, I don't think I have. I'm still dealing with a lot of shit that I need to process, like I was saying earlier. Like, I've still got soul searching and shit to do. We're always on that journey, but
it never ends.
I haven't really got to that point where I want to be yet, which is what I'm trying to get at, where I'm working on it, but I'm not there yet, you know? I'm still trying to figure shit out.
Some tarot cards after this.
Fuck
for
yeah.
For sure, yeah.
I haven't done tarot cards.
Oh, dude, yeah, let me do your reading. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, cool. Was a lot of these influences as well, like, sort of stemming around, like, the music industry that you grew up in as well? Like, was it sort of a cultural
thing? I grew up very... My dad's a theologian, so, like, he's, like, professor of religion. So, like, I grew up very educated in, like, histories and traditions of religions, especially Christianity.
Yeah.
When I was young, like... I mean, like... I'm named after an archangel, Michael, and, like, my parents, like, always talk to me about Archangel Michael's with you, and, like, I just was, like, I started, like, thinking on that, like, how much protection there is out there for me and power I can tap into.
Mm-hmm.
Just started to claim it and own it, and it just resonated so truthfully to me. Just you know, it's a mythos, but it's also, there's something to it that you don't need to understand what the fuck that is. It's just this energy that you... feel, and it's beautiful. So look, I just started to get back into that spirit of that I had when I was younger, like my childish imagination, and apply it to the real world adult dark bullshit life that I fell into to just find happiness. Like, it's like when people laugh at, like, nerds with lightsabers, it's like they're happy.
Yeah. You know, not only what you're enjoying, but fuck, at least they're
And guess
happy.
What?
Yeah.
There is such a thing as the Force, okay? Because they believe in it. So they believe in it, so it's real. That's all that you need to... That's all that counts. You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, because early on, like you're saying, Soho sort of, like, really took off around 06, and that was when you sort of started making the movements and such. But, like, to get to the point where you're at now... You were, like, I'm sure I read a post about this at some point from either the band page or one of your members or not, but you were talking about the fact that, you know, you would do, like, hundreds of shows, like, every year, and then you got to the point where you were doing maybe just festival lineups or even just, like, one sort of tour for the year or two, one at the start or one at the end sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was that, you know... We've spent fucking over a decade getting to this point, you know? If where we're at now is playing festivals and like, only one or two big shows, we're going to put all of our energy into that. Because we spent, you know, most of our career early on doing a minimum, 200 shows a year at one point?
Non-stop.
And, you know, Clowns were a good example of that too. Like, what got them so big is that they were literally on tour 365 days a year.
Like,
yeah.
Just turned Europe. We lived in America for a year and just toured nonstop.
Yeah.
It was such a good learning experience, especially with some of the bands that we played with. I mean, the work ethic in the States in the punk and hardcore scene is, it's awesome. It's inspiring, you know, the relentlessness of it. Because there's always a show.
Yeah, and it's so big over there as well. You have such a huge amount of area.
And you don't have to drive 12 hours to the next city.
Yeah.
To do here. But yeah, I mean, like, playing less... When we do those festival runs, there's always a lot of work that goes behind the scenes.
Yeah. Because
you're putting a whole... It's like doing a big theatrical thing. You're putting it together, figuring out the lighting, figuring out, like... Yeah, just like, you know, it's, there's a fair bit of prep work that goes into it, I guess. Like, I usually have a fitness routine running into that, like, at least a month before.
Yeah, so you want to be given 100% as best you can. You don't want to be half-assing it, otherwise.
Yeah, and then you get that huge high when you do, like, those 4 or 5 shows, and then it's over and you're like, oh, we didn't have shows for 3 months. And then you're like, boom. That was always my, like, shit point, because I'd be like, okay, now I'm going to fucking just do drugs and drink for a week. And like, I stopped doing that, like, because that was really the mistake, just like trying to keep that high going and not really just appreciating it.
That's the thing, right? Because you keep, you get that big rush, and I can only imagine that at that level that you get to as well, it's fucking addictive, having those thousands of people fucking scream at you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then you just go, oh man, this is great. I'm fucking partying. I'm playing to thousands.
Yeah. Next thing is like 3 days later, the show's well and truly finished. And you're all at mate's house going, where are my after party still?
Where are my fucking pants?
I think I'm gonna go see my kid. Like, seriously though, man.
Fuck.
But you know, like, you know, like, trials that's, and tribulations. That's part of it. Yeah, I mean, like, for me now, I'm just more prolific. Like, I'm doing multiple bands because I've got the time, because Soho affords me the time. And I'm going back into studying, I'm doing a PhD, and and I'm writing poetry, playing guitar again, you know, I just, you know, I mean, I'm sober at the moment. I'm not going to be sober for forever, but I have been ever since I was in the hospital, and I want to be. Like, it's not, no one's made me, told me I had to do it.
It was a choice. It was
just so I could get my shit together, dude. And it just gave me that headspace and that spare time to really, like, yeah, just figure my shit out. So, like, for the rest of this year, at least, I will be. But, you know, like, I'm not in a rush to break. I'm on a bit of a streak now, too, so it's good.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you get on that streak and you're like, I want to keep it going.
Yeah.
How long can I do it for?
I know. I was talking to my mate about doing a whole year. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Right.
I'm halfway through it almost, so yeah, we'll see how we go.
At least get to
I'm not going to beat myself up if I have a beer, like, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Once you get to that point, right, where you feel like you're in control of what you're doing, that's the point, isn't it? And it's not about whether or not you reach that streak, or it's like, oh, no, I absolutely can't, you know, it'll ruin it, I'll fuck my head up. Then you're overthinking it, you know?
Yeah,
it's not, it's
exactly.
Self-control. Like, if you're at that point where you're like, no, I better not, well then, you're absolutely right, exactly. You better not.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're like, I'll have one.
I'm sure I could now, but I just don't really want to.
Yeah, so, that's
like,
it.
That's like, why I'm not doing it. Like, I'll go to a pub, hang out with my friends. I hang out with people doing fucking lines, whatever. Mm. Like, I just don't want to. So I want to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and that just happens to be what they do sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I'm back on the ciggies.
Yeah,
but that's...
You know, like, if that's one of the things so far that's kind of helping, I guess it's, you know, it's not...
Yeah. Well, it's been good for the meditation too. Like, because that kind of helped. Like, it's like...
It was so nicotine.
The focus on the breathing and... Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, like, to that sort of, like, hit that you get, but then you go into that, a meditative state.
Well, because you're breathing, you're focusing on your breathing, you just take that time out, you know, it's about giving you that yourself that me time. Plus, it's, like, my only vice now, so.
Yeah.
Gotta have something.
I think my biggest problem with a lot of this shit is that I've not been meditating, I've been more disassociating
and
shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, for anyone not knowing that, it's just basically where you zone out and you distract yourself from doing shit that you probably should do.
And
you zone yourself out to a point where it's like, oh, fuck, I just wasted a lot of time doing nothing.
And
I'm guilty of that a lot of the time. It's still something that I'm trying to, you know, this is one of the things, like, I'm working on that.
Yeah, be kind
because,
to yourself, man.
Yeah, because that's, and usually I'll get annoyed at myself for doing that, and then that'll bring on the anxiety and shit, you know, and it's like, well, this isn't winning.
Cycle.
It's really hard to break out of it too, especially when...
Try meditating, dude, honestly. I'll give you some tips.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I'll need to try and get back into.
Well, I got into this whole chakra alignment thing, and now, like, I'm like on such another level with it that, like, I know I'm not giving myself excuses. Like, obviously smoking's not healthy for you, but
of
like,
course. We're adults here.
If you get align your chakras, like, and it's called, there's this thing called the polyvagal theory, and it's like to do with the vagus nerve that runs from your crown of your head down to your butt, and your chakras all run through that way.
Yeah. It's like, seven signs or seven symbols.
Yeah.
Or
so
something.
It's like here, your brain, your voice, like your down through your neck, heart, it's just the polyvagal theory places it as like your vital organs. In chakras, it's crown, third eye, throat, solar plexus, a heart, solar plexus, stomach, your dick and your ass, or your vagina if you've got one.
Right.
Because like that, basically that vagus nerve, it runs right through your system. And if you're depressed or whatever, you're probably in a fight or flight mode. And that's how anxiety comes on.
Yeah.
And once you clean that out, actually, I like had a massive bunch of toxins released. Like, I once this happened, like, I had, like, diarrhea and shit for days. My skin was all yellow. My liver was, like, overloaded because it was clearing out this vagus nerve. And it regulates, basically, like, it means your vital organs are much more regulated. I lost, like, 30 kilos this year doing this shit.
Fucking
it just fell off me. Yeah. Yeah, because I'd gotten so overweight because I was so stressed out and, like, just miserable. And I was trying to lose weight.
You fill the void during that time, too. Yeah,
and I just couldn't. I was exercising and I just couldn't lose the weight because my body was holding onto it.
Yeah.
Because I was in fight or flight mode. I was just walking on eggshells in this relationship and, like... Yeah, just didn't realize how traumatized I was.
Yep.
And I just dealt with it, dude. And like, yeah, here I am. I'm fucking killing it. Yeah. I feel so good.
Fuck yeah. And you guys, the Soho as well, you guys just pretty much, what was it? Yours and Ours Festival. You're jumping on that as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you're starting to add yourself back onto shows and shit.
That feels good. We've got like 4 coming up. Now, but there's going to be more.
There's another one in December, that's right. Yeah, West Theobarden and...
Yeah, we're doing... Shopping. So we're doing a Sunny Coast show and a Gold Coast show before Christmas.
The Miami Marquetta, that's right. Yeah.
And then, I forget where they are sometimes. And then we've got Unify in January down Victoria.
That's right, I forgot about that.
And so yours and ours is coming up, but there'll be more, like, you know, they just get announced as they come.
And this is what I mean before, like I was saying, like, you guys do more of these festivals and shit now as well, because you can. Like, you've set up that work ethic and to get yourself where you are, you know, in order to be like, yes, we can do this shit. This is, this is like, it's not really sort of like a in your face thing, but like, yes, we are this good. We deserve to be here. We slogged it out, you know? Like, you can't be mad at us thinking that, you know, if it was like a band that had taken 2 years and they're on the headline, people would be like, fucking what? You know? Like, but you guys have spent that build up. You're there. You deserve to be there. You deserve to take the time, you know?
Like, well, I mean, like, one of the things with festivals at this point, too, because there is a risk of, like, you know, COVID's still there, and there's less risk for artists when you've got like a guarantee on a festival. You know, we'll do our own touring where we advance the costs. It's just the business side of things, man. Like, you got to advance all the costs. We don't have the capital to advance costs for like the way that we would want to tour because we're down to like no money now.
Because
we've had 2 years of like barely any work, you know. So we're so lucky to have survived it, honestly. Like, I don't even know how the fuck we did it. Because so many people buy our t-shirts. But, like, literally, it's been huge. Like, I'm on, like, a third of my normal income, and I'm just so thankful that I'm still earning a living from it.
Yeah.
But it still sucks to have, like... Yeah, I was just like, what am I doing whinging about not working? I'm going to start some new bands and just play music every day. Like, fucking hell. Like, what the fuck am I thinking?
Yeah.
And so I just started doing that, and it's just been, I've got stuff going on. I'm playing drums for a couple of other bands on the side, just filling in, like, on recordings. And I've just had stuff coming to me all the time. So, yeah, I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it.
The chances to rebuild, I guess, is coming. Right, this is the where your life is sort of coming on track as well. The shows are announcing like this, but not necessarily just for you guys, but in general, this is a chance for the music scenes in all the states basically to get back on their feet and start playing shows again. You know, and to be able to put these back on again, like I don't know about you, but like when you get the chance to go to shows these days, like I'm fucking fanging for it. Like especially one that I really want to go to, where I'm taking photos for or something like that. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait half the time. Even if I'm like anyone listening, if I'm not talking to you, or I'm still like that's just my shit, right? But to be there at that venue and to be watching the music that I enjoy listening to, oh man, the feeling has been so good. You know,
dude. Like. Just going, I mean, just even, that's why, like, I just started going to see local bands playing, like, 50 cap rooms again, because, man.
You gotta go to some of the Common House shows, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you do. If you get a good bunch of, like, D-beat or hardcore bands playing there,
the place
just gets
I fell out of the punk rock scene. I mean, to be honest, I was, like, really depressed for a long time, so I only really went to gigs if it had something to do with work.
Yeah,
and, like, music became... just work to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it, but like I just lost a lot of, exactly. And yeah, just finding myself back in the hardcore scene, like, I was like, why did I leave this? Why did I fall out with all these people? There's a lot of the same people, a lot of new people too. It's great seeing the young kids come through too.
Yeah.
The new scene, like the new, the younger kids in the metal and the punk scene are awesome. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cool chicks too, like love seeing the girls getting into it more too, so
yeah
it's really good, just nice vibes, man. I'm loving it, you know.
And oh look, there's just something different about those sorts of shows too when you go to it as well, like especially when you're taking photos for it, because like you'll hear people go, oh it was fucking mental, but then you never see photos for them and shit, because then you're like, well I wanted, how mental was it, like you know, like what exactly happened, you can tell me, but like I want to see pictures of it, you know. The real, the big, the one band that's on the rise in Brizzy for that sort of thing at the moment is Toy.
Oh, like, yeah, they're sick.
Yeah, like, they've got that sort of, like, so, for an example, like, Sydney's got, like, one of their, like, they got a huge range of bands and artists and stuff that are down there, obviously, but, you know, like, say, Brisbane's got, like, their up-and-coming, like, on the rise hardcore, like, Toy. Sydney have got like, they've got a huge smorgasbord, but Speed, they're fucking like, they've got a huge like.
Yeah, I need to dive deeper. Well. I've only just started getting back into it. And yeah, like, yeah, there's just so many fucking good bands.
So
like,
many. Bandcamp is where it's at, too. And this is why, this is why I kind of like jumped on the cassette train as This was how I was finding out about more local, exciting bands to listen to and shit. And then I started ordering like a couple here and there that were a little bit more than I would, you know, like, because for a lot of these ones I got, they were between like $5 and $10
about, cassettes, you know, pretty cheap,
but the most recent one that I got that was the most expensive today, it was $30 and
more
that,
for a cassette
wow. yeah but that was we'll go another drink. But that was Thy Art Is Murder. They brought they brought out a whole bunch of merch and shit, like, for their Hate release, because it was coming up, it's coming up on the 10 years that they released it. Cheers, man. Yeah, so I picked up one of those cassettes, and they're, like, limited to 400, so, you know, it's one of those cool things as well.
Yeah,
where,
oh, cool.
You know,
band.
I know.
That's a band that was in the, like, in the charts. For an Australian extreme metal band to be like charting in the actual ARIA charts in the top five, like, this says a lot about how good they really are.
I remember seeing their, well, I don't know how many times they had played up there at this point, but I remember seeing them in 2008 when they just released Infinite Death with their old vocalist and everything at the Princess Theatre. Holy shit. I'm so glad that that venue's back now.
Yeah, that's great.
Because that's where I, like, I grew up at that place, like going to shows all the time.
Yeah, right.
That was my all ages venue. For a long time.
They did a lot.
Yeah, I saw so many good bands there, and that's what kick-started it for me. Like, I saw Parkway Drive there for the first time.
They used to always do all-ages shows.
Yeah, and that's a thing, too, that is needing to be a thing, is all-ages venues need to be a thing still.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, how are these new generations...
It's so much harder.
You know, we're potentially losing the Bowl, East Brizzy Bowls Club.
Yeah.
I don't know how soon, but...
They don't really have gigs there very often anymore.
Yeah, well, they got up. It's not so much the music gigs, but they do a whole bunch of other shit when they do have shows there, man, it's killer. Like, there was a Wormfest happened there at the Bowls Club.
Yeah.
Like, such a good lineup. And, like, there's booklets now of, like, that festival and shit that you can get of, like, the photos of the event. It's great. So many good bands played
like,
on it.
With the, just as, talking about the East Brizzy Bowls Club, we used to play there a lot, but, like some of our earliest shows. Sorry, I'm just burping.
No, that's
from
right.
The Coke.
Ooh, some bubbly diet shit. Coke. Even though it's diet shit. It's still got those bubbles
Oh, man, I'm addicted to Diet Coke. Yeah, look, I've always thought, like, how much longer is that place going to sit there for? Because it's such prime real estate for what it's turned, that area's turned out to be. If they do knock it down, which I'm thinking is probably going to happen, they just need to, like, build a space, because they got, obviously they're going to develop it into a little precinct, right? So just put an art space in there, for the love of God. That's all you're going to fucking do, man. They won't want to do it, because it's going to be like a bunch of, it's going to be like some private facility for some rich assholes, but...
Or rental apartments for the upcoming Olympics bullshit.
That's what I'm thinking. Oh,
but,
man,
you know,
yeah.
Like...
Well, look, Brisbane's just fucking exploding in size.
Yeah,
so maybe venues are just going to be pushed more out.
It's so frustrating. Like, I just, That's one of my biggest fucking pet hates right now, is the fact that, yes, we should expand a growing city, but not on top of itself. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, you that's, know? Like, Sydney, that's how Sydney fucked up.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's... Mm. You got...
It's such a big city, too. Like,
that's geez. The thing. Yeah. Like, it just... People would be less cranky if they had more space.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But that's also
a truism, for sure, man.
But, like... If you kill, like, there's potential to have their shows there. That's what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that was an all-ages venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is until they, whatever happens with it, right? But that's the thing. There's just less opportunity now. And there's it's happening more and more.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, at this point, you're going to be playing AA shows in your backyard in order to start.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess it's... Chances are it's going to be pushed out more to the suburbs. Like, there's Golby's out in Ipswich now. I've gone there a couple of times. That's a mission out there. I've gone out there on the train. I don't have a car.
Yeah.
So, right. But I mean, it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh,
that place is sick.
It's
got all the way out to bloody Ipswich now for a punk show. But West End used to be full of house party, little house venues, like Brandon Street Studios used to play all ages shows, BYO. There's none of that now. It's too hard to get away with it.
Yeah, Tim's Guitars as well used to be a thing. It's not there, but, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Like little things like that would just...
Tim's Guitars was so important for the Valley scene, for sure. It was a lot of people got around that. That's a real shame.
It is. Yeah. It is, because, it's just like one of those things. So, like, how do you keep the scene from dying, almost? Like, because you've got so many stable holders essentially trying to keep it going, because there never seems to... I know it sounds like you were saying before, like the industry sort of like harps on about not enough support, but with certain aspects of it, like, it is true. Like, from the very start of it all, like, even before all this focus on like who gets the most support during this hectic times and all that shit, right? You know, the arts industry was usually always the last lot of funding that was ever divvied out to those groups and shit. And when you would get it, it would be the fucking smallest amount compared to everything else.
Well, now it's all funneled through NGOs like Q Music. And I feel like, if anything, it's really in the arts community, it's a total recession that's happened. And
fucking
I look at it as like the best thing about the recession is that the center, the power base, because whoever was politically invested in these NGOs are like less interested in really putting money into that. So it's not being funneled through these channels now. There's opportunity to create new channels for like financing these things from the government. We can go like bring it back to being directly from the government, not through like an NGO or whatever, because like they just, so much of that small amount of money gets eaten up by these like, you know, Teases. Creative industries graduates who like, you know, are only there because they never could make a career for themselves as artists. Let's just be real. I'm in a privileged enough position to fucking say stuff like that because I'm not threatened by anyone. But you know, it's hard because I just see all these young artists come through. They go to fucking Big Sound and they get brainwashed, and the same old fucking, like, you know, old motherfuckers just got them by the balls. And it's like, I saw this kid a year ago and no one had him by the balls, and now they do. Like, what the fuck? What happened? Oh, you went to Big Sound.
Right. Well, a buddy of mine, every year when Big Sound comes around, he gets real mad. He gets real mad about it. And then I always wondered to myself, why is it that he gets so mad about it? And then,
There's definitely positives to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's those kids wearing those kids who was just out of high school wearing lanyards going to these fucking like, please give me the answers to how to shortcut a career in music.
Yeah, I want
to
get big quick.
There is no shortcut.
Yeah.
Is the answer. And like,
you gotta sell yourself a little bit.
Use your fucking brain. It's not that hard. I figured it out.
Generally these days, if you get big quick, you've sold yourself for something, you know, like, not all the time, but like, just generally speaking, like, usually when anyone sort of like gets big overnight, there's usually within the next couple of years a big flame out.
Well, it's usually a product of an industry.
Sure. Like, so they get latched on, like you're talking about, and then
someone owns that.
Yeah,
someone else owns it. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, it's very cynical, but it's just healthy cynicism. And I mean, like, RIP Michael Gudinski, his mantra was good things take time. That's what he always told us. We were working with him for years before our band broke through, and he always believed in us. And like, he's one of a very rare breed of people in the music industry who would invest for the right reasons. And like, those people still exist. I'm not just to pull things back for a second. There's a lot of great people in the music industry. It's not like
I know you're not taking a dig at it.
No, I'm not like an anarchist or like saying it doesn't need to exist. Of course, I live off it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just saying like the fear of it not being there is a trap.
Yeah. Like you can't make it big without like it, without the backing of the music industry essentially.
Yeah, but the artists are the industry at the end of the day, and like just. Yeah, there seems to be less and less control of it as the years go by.
When you get to that point too, it's almost like you can you notice sort of like the atmosphere of the audience too. Like you'll know who are really sort of there because they genuinely enjoy it, rather than it's someone being, oh my god, I want to go see Soho. I heard them on the radio. Like they're amazing, sort of thing. Rather than being like, I've been following you guys. But, you know, like it's that core group of people where they're in there and they fucking. So important, you know?
And those people are so important. Like, that's the heart and soul of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
they're the first ones to buy your releases, you know? Yeah. The first one, they'll pre-order. They're the ones
I love those people, man. I love meeting and talking to them on Instagram and, like, a few of those types. Like, I've become really good friends with some of those people, you know? Like, they're some of the best people I've ever met in my life. And, like, because they're there for the community of it and they just love it, man. Like, they love it more than I do.
Yeah.
It seems. Or, like, I forget. Like, they remind me how much I love what I do.
Yeah, know? And, like, that there are other people out there that do genuinely enjoy it, you know? Like, it can be much more than just something that you listen to on the radio. It's a culture. Like,
exactly, man. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's about keeping the fucking bad eggs out and making sure that you can build a healthy, happy community around it, too. And that's the... You know,
it's the most important part. The community aspect of it is so important.
You don't want to foster bad shit, you know? Yeah. Because like, then that in itself causes a rot. And then your favorite venue or favorite musician or band or audience, people, anyone, like once you start sort of going down that wrong path, you attract those people that like that stuff too. Like the wrong path or the wrong attitudes or the wrong ideologies backing your band or your core message that you're getting across, right? That's what it sort of starts to attract. If you know, like, it's a real fine line sometimes, especially like you're saying with this online world too. Like it changes, it's changed a lot of how, you know, like Kill the Music, man, like that's how I found a lot of these bands that I went and saw. Like 2008 was so pivotal for me, like going into the city like every weekend and like going to Kill the Music, seeing the new flyers of bands who were playing and shit. That's how I grew up getting into the industry, Paul's the scene, you know,
such a legend. He used to be in a really cool emo band, Paper and the Plane.
Yes. So back when I was in high school, there was a guy a year above me. His name was Luke Dolt. He used to be when the old singer of the Paper and the Plane. And then they had
Dan.
Other guy. That was Luke.
I used to live with his girlfriend back in the day. Dan's a legend. I don't know Luke actually.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Is Luke
the dude who replaced him or something?
But I never knew what really sort of happened in that era. Like I had no idea to keep track of what happens with the bands and shit. It's so much easier to know if a band's fucking falling out with nowadays because they'll put posts up about it, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, true. You know what? Like, stop putting up posts and put up posters because I never see fucking gig posters anywhere. Yeah.
But mind you, though, they are fucking quick to take them down.
They're on the internet now.
Yeah.
No, I miss that, though. I'm just being a grumpy
old man. But that's true. I love walking by the alleyways and just seeing a fuck ton of posters and shit.
At least put some flyers in record stores on the bench. Just for me.
That's the flyers thing, too. Flyers are sick, because, like, again, that's how I found out about shit when I'd go to Kill the Music.
You know, the flyers
on the table and a little spot and then you grab them. Outside of that, like, it's been... Man, there was, like, a good period. Like, I reckon it was, like, 2008 to 2014, 2015, roughly, where there was just, like, a smorgasbord of, like, insane shows. Like, just across the board. And for the metal industry too, it was huge. Like, I remember in 2012 alone, I think I saw, like, I saw Dying Fetus and Napalm Death, and that was when Disentomb opened for them, and I think it was like their first or second show. Awesome. I had no idea as well, but I'm just like a young drunk kid, like, like, this is insane. I saw Jofra Cowboy and Decapitated there with Psychroptic.
So
that's how I got into Psychroptic.
What a band.
And how long they've been around. That was them. Well, they were Observant was what fucking took them across the world, sort of thing. Like, they'd signed a Nuclear Blast and released that. And then you just saw Psychroptic popping up everywhere and shit, you know.
Such a good band.
Look, oh man, there was... Australia had one Summer Slaughter tour. I don't know if you ever heard of the Summer Slaughter tour. It was massive over in the States.
Right. Yeah, I've definitely heard of it.
But they tried bringing it here to Australia, and they did, but it was, from memory, like, it was really fucked. Like, there was a lot of fuck-ups and shit. It was a one-time thing where it came here once and never came back. But it was also the last time Necrophages played a show, and for them, like, they were, like, a staple hold for me for a while of, like, pivotal... like death metal sort of shit. I didn't go to it. I don't know why. I can't remember why I bailed on it, but like, since then, from memory, they haven't played a show since. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's one of those moments you miss out on seeing one of those bands. In 2011, 2012, it was Nile and Hate Eternal, Abigail Williams, like, just so many of these huge sort of like stable name bands and shit in this period. But then ever since then, it's just never been like that. You'd never get like four international metal bands playing on one bill, because that's what it was. It was three, and then a Psychroptic, but still, like,
in terms Psychroptic are an international.
They are, on right, the, yeah, but like Aussie, right. But yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, international stage, right? So you had Origin, Psychroptic, Misery Index and Decapitated on that show. Like, you never get that now. You get one overseas band, lucky to get two.
Used to get a lot around the times of Soundwave too, because it was like all the side shows,
Sidewaves and shit. Or Sound,
Whatever they call it. And there's, I guess, like, there's ebbs and flows to these things. Festivals are usually a lot smaller these days, though.
They are.
I guess there's less financial. There's more of them and they're smaller.
Yeah.
They're more like boutique, as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
I miss, like, I mean, I do like that, but I wouldn't mind a Big Day Out or something coming back. Like, like 50,000 people at one thing. Like, it's a football game.
It's, look, I think it can be done. Like, they were, like, Download was starting to do it.
Download was like 30,000.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. And I think they.
That was so much. We played the last one.
Oh, did you?
No, I'm talking about Good Things.
Oh, Good Things,
Good Things is pretty big, though.
That's another one, as well. Yeah. Like, that's a good festival, too. Like,
it'll be back. Like, it's just got fucked from COVID, obviously.
Like, most of these fuckers, like, it's the rebuilding process, and, you know, it just sucks that it takes time. We were talking about it before. Like, it's a slow rebuild again, and you're like, fuck, I'd already done it. It's not even the bands, it's the scene itself. Like,
yeah, I think it's going to come back really strong next year. I'm really excited about heavy music.
It is.
I think people want to hear that, especially, like, because it's just real, dude. It just resonates with people, especially because having been able to see live music for a while, like, actually seeing, like, a punk band take the stage to, like, not just a small stage, like a fucking festival stage, and just rip the fucking shit apart. It's gonna just blow people's minds, man. They're like, oh, I forgot this is a thing. It's like the best thing ever, dude. No backing tracks on stage.
Fuck yeah.
Everyone's just ripping and it's real, like, and, yeah.
I think I don't think you're wrong, though, in saying that once we're able to, like, get the internationals over again, like, it'll fucking go again. I think, because once everything starts picking up again, like, once, you know, like, it's always usually supply and demand. When there's not enough fucking supply and you have a huge demand, like, it's going to be more expensive to do shit, like, you know, flying and all that shit. But once it sort of evens itself out, it'll come back to some sort of normalcy, but
promoters and agents have got, they're gonna, it's like, be careful what you wish for, man. Like, I've got friends who are like, oh my god, I'm so pumped now. It's like, This is what we've been asking for this for 2 years. You forget how busy you were before COVID.
Right. Yeah. You just
enjoy it, man.
You get caught up in so much stuff, and it's crazy. Like, again, I was saying before, like, I still got shit to work on. I still, I think, you know.
Well, living out there and having more shit to do will help you with that, dude. Yeah. Because there's nothing like just living your life to help you find happiness, man. Like, you know, like, it's as long as you're addressing that stuff, and that's the important thing. It takes fucking a lifetime of, like, I've got dysthymia. It's like, I'm always going to have depression my whole life. I was born with it, but it's genetically, it's like a it's like generational trauma, like, because of being Irish, my whole family's got it. And, like, it's actually been really cool to find out about that stuff, because now I know about so much of my family history, my ancestors. With, like, you know, all the esoteric stuff, it's so cool to know, like, who was your, like, great-great-great-great-grandfather, some of the people that I'm related to. Like, So, yeah, like, but my point is, like, I'm always going to have that. It's always going to be part of myself. So I just need, you know what, it's something I like about myself, too, because it makes, like, it's having that melancholic side makes me an artist as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be an artist without that sort of, like, that, I'm a very, like, happy, very positive thinking person, but deep down, my shadow self, I've got, like, dark shit going on in my head.
I got demons, all bro.
Day, dude. Dark shit. And you know what? I like that. I like that about myself. I find very little things to be disturbing. I can watch any horror movie. I'm not, like, shocked, because guess what? That's already gone on inside here.
Like,
you know what? Like, it's just, I find it inspiring, dude, because I've just managed to get it in, I'm in control of it, dude.
Yeah.
That's why I've, like, gone back to heavy music, gone back to listening to black metal. That's why that music resonates with me so much, because it speaks to my experience. And it's made me more happy, made me more positive, you know? Like, it's, I've transmuted it into something joyful, which is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because, like, you always see those stupid, stupid pictures of being, like, what is it, like, you know, with the heavier music as well, like, where you see, like, that kid in the wheelchair being hoisted up by the fans.
And,
you know, it can be hijacked in certain ways, but, like, at the end of the day, though, like, that is, like, in any genre, that is what you're aiming for. You want, you want that vibe, you want the happiness, you want, but you also, in every scene, it doesn't just have to be, you see that in, like, a normal pop rock show or some shit like that. You do see it, like, with metal shows and shit. It's not all, like, demons and angry and screaming and murder and stuff.
Oh, there, you know, are general, like, there's genuine sociopaths in the metal and the hardcore scenes. Like, I mean, goddamn, there's some definite ones. But, like evil, not, people. Yeah. I've met some really evil people. Yeah. But you know what?
Like, they're still there.
I've met some really evil people in the, like, In every walk of life.
They are everywhere. It's just whatever you associate yourself around with, whether it be the music or whatever. It's like, oh shit, okay, maybe they're attracted to this stuff too. Shit, I have to be aware. Like, but you can also work out who the assholes are and who they aren't. Like, generally speaking, like, usually it's pretty easy to tell for me. From a front perspective as well, like, once I start talking to you and get an idea on what you believe in and stuff, we'll usually work out whether or not you're an asshole. You know?
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, like,
but it's that.
It's trust your intuition, dude.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Like, your intuition. We were saying earlier about, like, you can feel, like, the energy in a room, sort of thing. It's like that too. Like, I feel that, like, when I walk into a space as well. And a lot of the times, and it's, I hate it saying it so much, but, like, I feel that a lot of the times when I go to, like, not metal gigs so much per se, like the Isle of Ruin one, but, like, more of the old school sort of metal that is around in Brisbane. Like, I avoid going to the to those shows at the moment because I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like the atmosphere of the people that are there. Like, the music's great. I love the music. But it's the people that it associates with at the moment.
People carry energies with them. And it latches onto you. It's like, I mean, sometimes I'll jump on the fucking bus in the morning and I'll be in the best mood and I'm like, oh man.
Suddenly just bus. A wave?
You know what I do? I just go, you know what? Everyone just take, cop my good shit, all right, please? Because I'm, like, just fed up of, like, the other way around.
You just got, you're sick and tired of being angry all the time. Well, let's be happy for a change. And see how it works. Fuck yeah, man.
But no, I definitely know what you mean, man. Yeah, I've felt that before. And that's real. That's really real, actually.
Yeah.
It's you're intuitively sensing it. And it's instincts. We've evolved these instincts. We're highly intelligent creatures.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sixth sense, man. Like, I mean, people call it being psychic, whatever. Like, it's just trusting that you know what the fuck's going on. And in fact, actually, in my opinion, a lot of mental health issues come with a denial of the divine intuition, which is like just a human thing, because it's so fucked with by propaganda and like just double speak, whatever, George Orwellian shit, you know what I mean? Like, just it's really easy to manipulate people's thoughts and feelings and opinions to the point where they don't trust anything that they think. Yeah. They lose trust.
Yeah.
In I think themselves.
That, yeah, I think that's the biggest problem, like, with this whole fucking online shit, with the Facebook stuff, is because there's so much of that, people are starting to believe things that are just out of this world, right? Mm-hmm. But they think it's so normal because they're seeing their friends sharing it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, it's so true. Like, this is fucked. And it's like, you guys are spitting nonsense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's amazing how these Silicon Valley media platforms have created algorithms where you create the propaganda yourselves.
Yeah. You watch one video that is spruiking like propaganda shit that's like not on the wavelength you are, and suddenly your algorithm goes from seeing shit that you normally see to like fucking kill those woke fuckers. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. How do we get this so quickly?
I know, man.
And that's a thing, like, what you go on it online enough every day, and that it warps your way of thinking, you know?
I've got, I keep on retweeting and posting on my socials, throw your phone in the bin.
Yeah, I see that.
And, like, because I know no one's going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, but you're still using your phone. Just
remember, this is all rubbish.
Yeah.
Like, this is all a bunch of rubbish. Just remember. Like, don't forget, don't think that this is important. Don't think that any of this shit is real.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's what's around you, what's really there. The people around you, people you're actually interacting with, that's real. And that's what I mean about, like, the whole, it doesn't matter what's in your heart. Because you just got to appreciate who's fucking there, man.
That's it. Like, who is there at that point in time, for that moment, rather than, like, were they doing it from afar?
A lot of these people who are so online refer to people who aren't as, like, normies.
Mm.
The thing is, actually, the normies are you people.
Mm.
Like, you're just falling down the rabbit hole. Because everyone's fallen, like, everyone's doing that now. Like, more people than not. That's being a normie. It's just fucking taking the plunge down the fucking propaganda rabbit hole of Silicon Valley, dude. Those companies have got more money in them than all of Wall Street.
Yeah.
They're so rich.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane, dude. It's insane.
So much money is just in that one area as well. And, like, I was talking to my work buddy about it too, and it's like, if you have enough money, whoever you are, you have the potential to manipulate any sort of market you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to dabble, if you want to get into the fucking PR market or whatever it is, and you've got the money behind you or whatever, all you got to do is talk to a few people, throw some money down, and you're fucking done. Like, you've got your setup, you're ready to go. And that's the biggest thing. And if you want to start getting more hectic, where you want to start manipulating legislation within your county or your state or your country, you know, if you have enough money behind you, or you have a monopoly of some industry, like here, for example, with the Murdoch Press, you have the ability to control the narrative. Everyone who's able to walk into a server or whatever is going to see a front page news of here, for example, with the Courier Mail, and it's going to be some slag off about the current government that's in power.
Yeah.
That's usually because it's from a narrative that's coming from Murdoch himself, who, as we all know, is a piece of shit who owns a lot of money, but he has that power to dictate what people think, literally, because he owns, like, almost all of the online print.
Oh, especially in Australia.
In Australia. He has the power to do that. So if you're starting to spruik this sort of shit that comes from, say, like Courier Mail or whatever it is, not like most of the time, it's all fucking started by him and his agenda, you know? So if they're like, oh, who do you trust and stuff? Well, it's just look around.
Yeah, yeah.
Look around and just read.
You got to learn to read between the lines with it as well. I mean, I'm really happy I studied... like, I'm part of my PhD is in propaganda. Like, I studied this at uni and I've learned how to read between the lines. And I did media text analysis first semester of uni.
Mm-hmm.
It was great because, like, I feel like that was my guide book to realizing like how this shit works,
like, and how
especially how film language works. Visual language is so manipulated to, it goes right down into your cortex, and yeah, like everyone's just speaking that. It's an intuitive language, everyone can speak it without having to learn it. That's mm-hmm. the beautiful thing about cinema, and it's so misused. It's a beautiful invention that's been misused, and people just only know how to watch one way of watching films, and you know, they're like, oh, I can't watch foreign movies, I just don't understand them. It's like, just open up your vocabulary.
Why don't you try?
Yeah. Yeah, you narrow mind, because you've been brainwashed into only seeing things this way, you know.
But yeah,
I mean, it's like, it's interesting how Facebook are changing their name to Meta, because that's really what it is. It's become like this new way, like, Facebook has literally contributed to, like, human psychology on a massive scale, where people have split part of their identity off and put it onto the internet. And that's part of where their identity lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that I was born in the world prior to that, so I can see it. But, like, young people these days who don't know the world outside of social media, they have so much anxiety caught up in, like, how they're perceived and represented online. It's like, just throw your phone in the bin.
Yeah, back to that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not worth that feeling. Is it worth that feeling? You don't want that feeling. You're just addicted to it. It's not you. That's why you're so fucking confused.
Did you ever have a MySpace? I had a MySpace.
I was talking to
my next podcast that comes out. We were talking about, I reckon fucking Tom knew that what he had his hands on was a bit too fucked up. And he bailed. Like, he let that shit go, right? And then, what's his name? Zuckerberg came through. And then, you know, MySpace kind of fucked off and, you know, died off.
But it's interesting how Facebook blew up and MySpace died.
Hey? Yeah. Well, Tom just left.
Yeah, all right. You know, right.
He was like, this world is not for me.
Yeah. You know? And like, is he just gone?
Well, it's not.
Did he sell it or something?
He sold off his shares and he just went traveling.
Oh, well, fuck, how much money do you need?
Yeah.
Like, how much, like, Facebook's almost worth it. Meta's going to be worth $1 trillion, dude.
But that's also
like,
the thing.
Like, who needs $1 trillion, man? Seriously. Yeah.
You literally have, like, that example right there where it's like, this guy knew what potentially could happen and, you know, didn't go through with it, sold his shit and bailed, and then Facebook was like, ah, there goes my competition.
Yeah.
Straight up there. Yeah. And now look where it is. It's like, it's becoming so ingrained in our lives now, we literally have to sort of live, in a sense, well, for some people anyway, they have to live through this shit because it's also how they work too.
Yeah.
You know?
I grew up in the Internet of Anonymous chat rooms and
MSN and all that.
Yeah,
shit
MSN too. And like, I remember when Facebook first came around and I was like, looking at it, I was like, it just looks like a chat room, but you can't use an alias.
Oh, I thought it was shit.
Yeah, I was like, it just looks boring. It's white and blue and you can't use a fake name. It's fun to use a fake name.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole split your identity off thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to represent yourself as a completely different person on the internet. Not out of like fraudulence, but out of like actually this is me. Like my Twitter account's where I do that. My name on Twitter is something stupid. And it's got no photos of me. And I just tweet about like things that I'm interested in that I know only a few random people who follow me are gonna also like. Like about, you know, stuff that like, no one who's a violent side fan is gonna give a fuck. Politics, philosophy, whatever. Yeah. Like, because I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
And like, that's my avenue. And I like how people, like a lot of people who follow me on Twitter don't know who the fuck I actually am.
Yeah.
You know, they just get weirded out.
There's not some sort of, not bias per se, but like, the response that you're going to get from them is more than likely going to be genuine because they don't know that you're or who you are or what you do or anything like that.
And
you know?
Like, it's so important. I think anonymity is important. And like, I'm sorry, but like, I understand online bullying and all this kind of shit, fraudulence is all really something to guard yourself against.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the freedom of anonymity in a place where you just write like two sentences, I don't really see the problem. It's all linked to a real account anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They can find out who the fuck you are anyway. The
forensics, if they really wanted to,
the forensics are at that level. Like, it's just no one likes people misrepresenting themselves, but you're not actually, that's who you are.
Mm.
You are, you can represent yourself as whoever you want to be, man. You can change your fucking name if you want. You can put a different picture. That's not really who I am, but that's who I feel like I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's just as true.
Yeah.
You know, like people, that's liberate. That's having liberty, you know, like taking the liberty with your own identity. You know? And people are very fixated on this concept these days. It needs to extend out to multiple different ways of looking at life.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Because unless you want to just stick to that, you know, that's the way it's going to be. But unless you actually sort of enact change on it and get people being like, okay, well, look, we don't want to fall down this rabbit hole and make it harder for ourselves at this point. Let's try and think up with something new that will still keep the regulars in, you know, like I think it's getting harder and harder for small businesses to be able to do anything, you know, these days in terms of marketing or selling themselves or whatever. And it's the same for bands. I think they're having a harder and harder time nowadays to actually get fucking something going because that's the age that it's suddenly become, you know, and it's almost like needing to go back to basics.
Yeah. And I think like, this is what I mean. Like COVID is like it's the signal of the next wave and it's just coming out. It's like, the old wave is out here. It's too big. It's going to burst.
Mm-hmm.
The new one's just coming out. It's just like the drop in the ocean. You know how the ripples. Get your idea. Get your head around the visuals.
Yeah.
Like, and the next ripple is just starting out, and it's not really like it's not even close to really growing out to its full size. But I can just get a sense of it coming out there now, and like people are much more. Find people getting much more involved in their local communities, especially with the restriction on travel, and that's great for small business, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who fucking need, at the end of the day, who fucking needs the internet, man?
Mm.
Like, I'm always going to use it, obviously. We do need it because we've been forced into needing it, like we need fucking electricity. But at the end of the day, like, just look up, look out, look side to side. There's shit around you.
Yeah.
And like, that's been a great revelation to me from COVID. Since like obviously at some point we couldn't leave our houses.
Yeah.
As soon as I could leave my house, I'm going to the coffee shop right there because like it's right there.
Yeah. And then you're back home. And you're back inside, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. But at least I got to go say hi to somebody.
That's right. Yeah. It's such a huge change when instead of interacting with yourself in the mirror for a change, you know, you're actually like, hey, a fucking person. How are you? What are you doing? I'm so lonely.
Yeah, looking at the mirror, I'm fucking sick of you.
Yeah. Like, you got no one else to talk to after a while, and you're just fuck, man. Like,
oh, man. Well, I live by myself, man. I got this.
There's
the cat, dude.
Yeah. If someone's walking by, it's totally justified. He's all right. He's just talking to his fucking cat.
But I mean, living in Brizzy, it's been pretty chill, really. We've been very lucky.
We have been. You know, I think that in itself becomes, like, one of the problems, too, I think, because we did so well in this. People are just like, whatever, it's fine. Whatever. Like, we haven't had that many people die. We're fine. Whatever, you know, like. But it's like, well, we did well because we did what we should have done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, we did our best to do it, you know? And the whole point is to minimize people losing their lives, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
We've been very lucky. I feel like there's obviously a correlation with the climate. I mean, I'm no scientist, but it's not as cold here unless people get colds.
Mm.
I don't know. I'll leave it at that because I don't know a thing about the virus.
Yeah.
I got sick of finding out about it, so I just tuned out.
I went through that phase and I'm out of it now because I know enough. I don't need, if I hear anything else right now, it's just bullshit, like whatever, channel that out. Because after a while, when you hear
people... It's too much, man. It's too much.
That's it. Like, you talk about the burnout shit, right? Like, I was talking to Tanuki about it one time, and, he was like, man, don't forget to give yourself a fucking breather from this shit. Because once you start, like, looking into, like, more of this sort of fucked up shit, like, ideology stuff that people latch onto these movements, you're going to need to rest. You're going to need to give yourself a couple of days, even a week or a month or something, once you sort of delve into it, because sometimes it can be pretty fucked up, especially like the way that how some people actually think, and then you catch on to the movements that they're a part of and stuff, and you're like, I had to be like, well, that's enough, you know. I try and regulate what I see now, because it's like, once one, it gets me worked up, and two, it's like, oh, I've seen this stuff before, it's almost like triggering, like, because it's like, ah, dude, it's still the same fucking narrative or whatever, where it's like, it's the propaganda shit that you're talking about. Like, it's you're just trying to spoon feed it to me in a different way now. Mm-hmm. It's a different method that you're trying, you know? It's latched onto a different thing. Oh, it comes to this and it comes to that.
It's the same formula. It's just done, put through a different...
I know. It gets so tiring, and I guess that's how the people sort of like fall into it, is like they get tired of fighting it and they just go, yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you just give yourself enough time to give yourself rest.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I think, like, you know what? It becomes a banality to just take it as what it really is. And that's exactly, give yourself a break from it. There's really, like, unless you're a scientist, there's no, like, secret. There's nothing else you're going to find out about COVID, man.
No,
we know what it is. It's a banality. Yeah. And, like, so just try and move on with your life.
Yeah. Stop trying to turn every... You know,
there were loads of illnesses around or before COVID.
Mm.
It's going to be more... We all copped it. It's been terrible.
Let's do our best to fucking work through it.
Fuck on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a piss. Maybe
I was gonna say, this has been a pretty good length of time as well, and it's fucking so muggy again.
Yeah,
Holy shit.
I don't know why I'm wearing long
sleeves. Yeah, look, man. So are you finished? No, that's right. So have you got any shows finishing up this year?
Was it this year or next year? So we've got Best Night Ever on the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast. Can't remember which one's which, but they're on the 18th and the 19th
of December.
Yeah. So check out our Instagram, and I think those shows are really close to selling out. If not, there's more. Check out our website. Go on the Insta. There's links. Yep. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
don't listen to me.
Look, man, I had a really good time. It's been a fucking blast. Having me. And I can't wait to see what you guys get up to next, honestly. Like,
thanks, man.
New tunes. And plus, like, hardcore bands, bro. I want to see you play in a hardcore band. It'd be so fucking sick.
It's coming.
Yes! I love that shit. All right, man. Fucking awesome. Legend. Thanks, shit.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
A legend too,
all right,
thank
legend,
you.
Guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.